I hope I'll meet a black bear walking in this idyllic forest. Maybe it's better called a wood. Not sure why I think of Robert Frost. To my left are logs piled up from wood felled by the storm. In front of me, a path to the right, a hill. Well, you'd call it a big mound, but it is a hill. And there are birds in the distance. I suppose I feel a bit like McColgan early in the morning, but I don't think I'm close enough to the birds. I believe there are raccoons and chipmunks and deer to be found, and there's certainly sunlight coming through the trees. Maple trees. I can't reach their leaves. Big, tall trees. Straight. Ideal for a flagpole. I wasn't joking about the bear, because every season, which is what I've heard it called, every season a bear has been seen wandering in this wood, or shuffling round in the wood. I think that was the phrase used. I wish I could photograph the web, the spider's web. I just realized that the wood is full of spider's webs. And I've just closely inspected a spider and tried unsuccessfully to get a photograph of it. It's so small. This path meanders gently. There's nothing straight about this wood except the trees. They're brown leaves, loads of them. The floor of the wood is covered in brown leaves, and I've just seen a little creature. What am I looking at? I'm looking at a squirrel. Maybe it's a chipmunk. It's got a stripe on its back and it's just run across the... But it's small, really small. Brown, it's... I don't think I'd have seen it if it hadn't moved. Well, if I've seen one, maybe I'll see more. Maybe I shouldn't speak at all. We met a frog in this wood last evening. And I learned that if you hold a frog from the side between your fingers, that they won't wet or do their stuff on top of you. I feel that in order to see creatures in this wood, you have to not look. You have to just keep your senses open, and maybe from the side of your eye, something will move and you'll notice it. But certainly I think staring is not the answer. I'm deliberately walking on leaves so that you'll hear more. The canopy basks in the early morning sun. And I see an insect fluttering. Deer have been here. I can see where they've rubbed their antlers, scratched their antlers, stripped bark off that tree just in front of me. What on earth is the sound? Definitely a machine of some sort. I'm coming out the other side of the wood, and in front of me, and I'd never have guessed this if I didn't know it, are cherry trees. A huge, huge field of cherry trees. I see farm machinery, so that sound must be made under the control of a farmer. Do you call somebody who grows cherry trees a farmer? Or might they be called a harvester? Powerful, warm sun. Walking straight into it. The sun catches the leaves of grass. I'm walking to inspect a cherry tree. Will there be fruit on it? Oh yes, oh yes, yes. Little green, almost circular fruit. Oh yeah, lots of them. Lots of them, more than you would think when you look at it from a distance, you'd see nothing. But this tree is full. Oh, I see one that has started to turn colour. There's a hint of red on it. Looking back at the wood, I can see that there must be at least four or five different types of trees, maybe even more. The cherry trees are on top of a rectangle of grass that is not growing. So it's as if somebody cut a swathe of the grass back. And the swathe is about 3 feet across, and it stretches the entire length of the cherry trees. The cherry trees are, I'd say they're about 12 feet high. I turn right, and in front of me, on the hillside, are vines. This is a huge wine growing area. But it's more famous, or it feels itself to be more famous, for its cherry trees. You get every kind of cherry here. Cherry gin, vodka, cherry pie. I was told a lot more uses of the cherry last night. Oh, cherry whiskey. Yeah, cherry bourbon. Whiskey. I run my fist through a small cedar tree. They're hardly leaves, whatever they're called, along the, I don't know what language to use, whatever they are, they're soft, they're young, they're prickly. If you rub the other way down against them, back along the stalk. Oh, they're evergreens. Everything else is deciduous. Along the edge of the wood, daisies grow in the grass, and they all face the sun. I'm beginning to suspect that that sound in the distance is not caused by a farmer being up early, but is caused by cars, vehicles, lorries driving along a road. Or else it might be caused by the electricity wires that run between poles in front of me across along a big field. Does electricity make a sound? And here's where the John Deere tractor, an old John Deere tractor, looks like it's kept well. It's certainly working. Well, it would work if there was somebody here to turn it on. It's green and yellow and black tires, yellow rims inside the wheel. And there is a yoke, because I don't know what it's called, but there's a yokibus behind it. Some kind of a thing that perhaps it cuts grass. That's behind it. It says John Deere, D-E-E-R-E, and then the thing behind it is called New Holland. It's got, let's walk over to it. Are you a tractor person? I think the world is divided into people who are tractor people and people who aren't. Okay, this piece of equipment has got springs on top, much too hard for me to move. It's got wire going to the back, which looks like it might be a form of brake, and it's got spikes. It does, it has, well, the spikes are flat at the top. They haven't got a point, but there. So this is a thing for making holes in the ground, in the field. Maybe it